traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Got a sponsor. Guys, Jade Black, they're back. Jade Black was started out of frustration of being unable to find any high-quality, fashionable frames at affordable prices. Any good quality pair normally costs over $150, and Jade Black has set out to change that. They just restocked their prism, their blue light blocking collection. It was sold out for over 5 months and has a 10,000-person waiting list. Why do you need these glasses? Basically, blue light can inhibit your sleep, and these can block the blue light from your phone, any devices you have, your laptop, etc. And they can also add prescription to their blue light glasses for only $75. Use the code IMPULSIVE to get 10% off your next purchase. They look good. I feel good. Again, that's code IMPULSIVE. The link for that is going to be in the description. Right now, you can choose. You, Mike Malak, you have the power to choose the president of these United States. You choosing Kanye West or Donald Trump to have those discussions. Have your finger on that button.
Why are you doing this to me right now?
I don't know, man. It's probably not.
Are we rolling?
Yeah.
That makes me nervous.
Yeah, because no one here knows about anything.
We haven't podcasted in a month, at least.
We're not even the right guys for this job.
Do we work here? Is this the look I should go for on the return episode, 199, episode 199? Am I onto something?
I like it. I like it a lot.
Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world, I think. I don't even know what this is anymore. A show, it feels like we've been gone for ages, mostly because we did take the last week off, kind of just focused on ourselves. But we all split up for 4th of July weekend. Mm-hmm. You went back to Ohio.
Incredible.
What?
It's a surprise, man. No one needs to know that.
Okay.
Oh,
sorry. What did you do? You went to Chicago. You went to visit your mom in Connecticut. You gave your mom
a car.
You gave your mom an Audi?
Yeah. Well, here's the deal, guys. On SeatGeek, you can. I bought my mom a certified pre-owned Audi Q5, which is what she wanted, black on black. And dude, I fell into a little bit of dough lately, like a little bit more than usual. And you know, the night shift's been great, and you have been great, and everything's been great.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? My mom, I haven't bought anything since I got to the city. You know that.
Yep.
Didn't buy myself a car. Haven't even bought any clothes. I bought Amara that one bag, the Louis bag. I said, yeah. My mom needs a new car. And so she goes on this annual vacation every year to Cape Cod. And she was like, I wish you were coming to Cape Cod. And I fucking flew in to New York, and I drove that new car up there, put a bow on it. And I snuck into the restaurant. I surprised her there. And I was like, but I have one more surprise too. And I took her outside.
Yep.
And some motherfucker stole the bow.
Yeah, fucking
who would steal
for you?
A
we're
fucking
kick
red
your fucking ass?
Hey, whoever stole that bow, whoever stole that bow, you made me work on my vacation because I had to Photoshop a bow onto the thumbnail.
Yeah,
and I did a great job.
Great job.
Mike was so nitpicky though. He was like, "You could see the lines through the
transparency."
I was like, come on.
Well, it's not the first time you had to Photoshop something in a photo for Team Maverick. I don't know. Remember 4 years ago, I did a sponsorship.
Gillette,
and I had you.
That was the worst Photoshop job ever, and the thing's so disproportionate. There's no shadows. It's the worst thing I've ever done. It worked.
You're good at saving your friend's ass when our shit is fucked.
And you'd be so surprised, people of the internet, how many times. I may or may not have come to the rescue. That's all I'll say.
Well, how good did that feel giving your mom that gift?
It felt incredible, dude. It felt incredible.
So that hits different. I remember the first time I got my dad that truck.
The trunk,
that he returned without telling me and bought other things with the money that I got for him. No problem, Greg. But when I did it, and you, again, this is odd. You're pretty involved in our lives. You helped out immensely with that as well. Yep. But it hits different being able, and I've said this before, being able to provide and give something to the person who provided you with everything and made you.
Yeah.
That's a different type of gift giving on that level. And I saw good old Rob and she was crying.
Easily the most, my most liked video. I think people really resonate with that idea of giving back to exactly like you just said to the people that gave you so much. And it felt incredible. But now she's, it was a double-edged sword. It was nice seeing you, but I miss you again. I think she had gotten used to the fact that her son was like not around. And now she's like, and that it's sad for me at least, when I go see family, it's always great to see them, but it actually tore at me a little bit this time to leave because of this pandemic and not knowing when you're going to see him again. And it's it was nice seeing him, but it's always tough to then leave. But great trip, Chicago as well. Ton of food stuff, all going to be on the night shift. Portillo's hot dogs. Ooh. Finally brought Amara to try New Haven pizza. And then she
heard about that.
Best pizza in the world.
That's actually all Mike ever talks about. Connecticut has the best
pizza in the world.
It's food in general. He's switching over to become a food blogger, I believe.
The night shift's going to become a food blogger. Yeah.
He's good at it.
Yep. Yeah. So that was cool. How'd you do?
I don't know.
You went to Vegas. Okay. Back to Vegas.
Back to Vegas.
Yep.
Gambled. Lost it all, as usual.
You always
all of it?
You always lose.
Yeah.
Were you up at all at any point?
I was. Lost it immediately thereafter.
Kids, if you're watching this, when you get up, just walk. Set a number. Be okay with walking away, even if the table's still a little hot. I always say this. If you get up, lose two hands. It doesn't matter how much you bet on them. Lose two hands and then walk away from the table. As soon as the table starts to get a little chilly, you gotta walk.
I'll say this. Because we said on the show before, like, don't gamble. But I'll amend that a little bit. If you're going to gamble, because it is fun. It's a good way to pass the time, especially in Las Vegas, gambling with your friends. If you're going to gamble, take the money that you were going to gamble with and count it out. Yeah. You're not going to win. Pretend like you threw it off a balcony and you're giving away free money. That's essentially what it is. So when I go there with a certain amount of money, I pretty much plan on losing it. And I go, okay, you know, this is for fun. This is for the experience. Like, Vegas, you got me again this time. But again, as long as you keep playing, One day I'm gonna win.
Stop. We once again are assuming that people can understand our sarcasm. Sarcasm.
Logan, I think a good attitude for gambling for you would be, you know, once you take that W, the first one, just run away from the table, because clearly your history has not been so great.
Just win any amount of money. Just if you win $100, walk.
Yeah, bro, you're doing better.
Yeah, but overall, Vegas was great. It was interesting, the club procedure, the protocol. You talked about it because of Corona, but they check your temperature. They make you wait in a little selected
holding
group.
Holding area.
Yeah, they swab you. You got to wear your masks through and through. And it's just interesting to try to wrap my head around the new normal. You know, I often wonder when it'll be over, and more importantly, how. Like, even just logistically, what does the end of this look like? Is it a cure that is finally they discover a cure that is slowly rolled out over the next, because it's not gonna be quick,
a vaccine,
three, four years?
Great question.
Seriously.
Is it going to slowly die out and then we move on to the next one?
It's just so weird. I mean, no one knows. Like, so much unknown about this particular virus, which has caused the biggest problems for it, right? Like even with the thing with our current president wanting to start to send kids back to school. Of course we want the schools to reopen. Of course we want kids to learn, and education, which is a massive provider of income for teachers and obviously knowledge for students, to go back in. But and people are saying, you know, listen, like the mortality rate at that age is so low, which is true. But first of all, any mortality in a child is unacceptable, or in any person, it's really hard to make that call and say, okay, listen, let's send them back. But more importantly, I don't know that there's enough knowledge of what this virus does to your system after you clear it out of your system.
Long term.
We've heard a lot of people who've like, yo, my liver has not been the same since I had coronavirus. My taste never came back. It's a new virus. And so like just saying, oh, fuck that, Johnny's not going to die at school. Yeah, he might not, but he might not be able to come in fucking 7 years. Who knows?
That'd be shit. I also read a headline that the fucking, I can't even believe I'm saying this, the Black Plague made a little resurgence somewhere, I think.
Bubonic plague.
Like in like Mongolia or like
China. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Mongolian.
The bubonic plague. Are you fucking kidding me?
It's just, what else can we have in 2020?
Did we not outgrow the bubonic plague?
That thing's nasty too. Evidently, they said it has absolutely no chance of becoming
50 million plus people it killed back in the day. Yeesh.
I guess we have that one all figured out, so they weren't as worried about it. But you turn black. Your body turns black. Yeah. It's
you rot from the inside.
Rot,
we're not interested.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of drama that obviously we couldn't talk about while we were gone. But man, we got TikTok kids showing up at TikTok kids' houses, fighting and shit.
Yep.
Dude, 6ix9ine and everyone. Who knows? Who knows?
Will Smith
and Jada and the entanglement, which was interesting. Ghislaine Maxwell.
Oh God,
they got her.
there's too much to unpack here.
Yeah, should we go slow?
I mean, the Ghislaine Maxwell thing is that how we're calling it? Ghislaine?
So let's call. I want to address her as this because I see people like calling Jeffrey Epstein, like billionaire Jeffrey Epstein, and like Ghislaine. I think it's Ghislaine Maxwell.
It's not Ghislaine. Because if I started a porn place, I would headquarter on Ghislaine.
Ghislaine.
Yeah. Where do you live?
I want to call her this. I want to call her pedophile Maxwell and pedophile Epstein.
Well, hold on a second. Are we clear to call her that? I don't know enough.
Have you seen the documentary? Have you read the research, the news, the photographs?
Yeah. Fuck.
Bro, who's the prince? Who's the prince? It was in the photo with
Prince Edward?
I think it was.
So she gets popped.
Prince Andrew.
So she gets arrested, and within 2 days,
corona time.
There's a fear that she may try to kill herself. I go, here we go. It's starting already, dude. They're already setting up the pieces to accidentally find this woman, and it brings us. It starts to teeter on the all that shit with the people that I won't mention on the show and what they talk about with the pizza and more importantly, did you see the new one?
Wayfair.
That was terrifying.
Okay. So they find these cabinets on the Wayfair website that are like $18,000 cabinets, which who knows? It could have been a fucking glitch in the system. These cabinets are too expensive. And then they find out that the cabinets are named after missing children. Okay. Which on the surface is frightening. On the surface, you want to make a cool movie about it for shits and gigs, whatever. But I'm gonna say something crazy right now, and you ain't gonna fucking believe this. And they're gonna have something to combat it with. If you look up any name of any product in the world, I assure you, there's a missing child out there named that same thing. I assure you that much. There's millions of missing children. If someone names a cabinet the Coda, I think there's a kid named Coda missing in some what? There's more to the story?
No, I think 800,000 kids per year go missing.
That's what I'm saying.
That's
like
a high
of course
fucking number,
and so they're like and so then automatically like Wayfair is tied in with Epstein and Hillary Clinton and Bill Gates is fucking it's just
wait, what is Wayfair? Is it they sell cabinets or is it like
a it's a furniture store. It's a furniture retailer.
Anyone post on it though? Like that would be my thing. Because I saw there's like stuff on Amazon now too, but if you're like a seller, it's not Amazon that's doing it. It would just be the people that are using that website.
Listen.
Wayfair response to sex trafficking and conspiracy theory of cabinets
say
with human names.
I hope they made a joke. It turned into a joke.
No, please. You can't,
no, I hope they did. It is a fucking joke. These people with this fucking bullshit, dude.
You're saying this is 100% fabricated?
It's fabricated. Bro, let me ask you a question really quick.
They said there is, of course, no truth to these claims. Spokeswoman Suzanne Frechette.
In your mind of minds, if a multi-billion-dollar corporation was going to sell children online, sell children at all, or get involved in that game, do you think they would sell them online inside of cabinets? Like, let's just step back. Let's just step back for a second here.
Okay, sounds dumb. It sounds dumb.
We're gonna retail children inside cabinets on an e-com website.
That's the art of all this.
That is the art of Pizzagate, Comet Pizza, the Clintons having a human flesh trafficking ring with Tom Hanks. Poor Tom Hanks. Poor Tom Hanks.
Wow.
One of the nicest
pilots I've ever seen. He's played so many pilots in movies.
Great
How
pilot.
Many fucking
and
humans
captains.
Is this guy saved?
So listen, I dig into this shit. I dig into this shit because it excites me. But at the end of the day, it's all about the what if factor. People are bored. People are sitting at home and they're bored. What's more exciting than sitting at home being bored? Making up stories about pedophilia. That gets people's rocks off, bro. Look at this shit.
The spokeswoman said the products in question are industrial-grade cabinets that are accurately priced. But yeah, weird names like Yuritsa, not weird names, but for a cabinet maybe. Samiya, five-shelf storage cabinet, like which is the same name as these teens that went missing. It's, I don't know.
But like the Tom Hanks thing, which is a big thing, because even his son, Chet, who I know, gets shit for it. Tom Hanks, if you go on this dude's comments, it's just, we're coming for you. Oh you've God. Been flagged. And they're like,
wait, are you talking about Chet?
Well, Chet deals with it too.
Chet trolls him, dog.
Trolls him hard.
Trolls the shit trolls out him of these hard. People.
But Tom's like, Tom's got these comments that are like, yo, like, we know you're dead. Like, there's this conspiracy that him and his wife are actually dead. And I don't understand all of it because I don't pay that much attention to it.
Oh, they're just apparitions.
Yes, or they're like stuck in like a FEMA camp. Mm. I don't fucking know. Dude, listen. But I think Tom kind of intelligently trolls him too because he posts pictures of missing socks on his. Pull up his Instagram.
Tom Hanks?
Pull up Tom. So in a way. In a way, he's either trolling or he is putting kids in cabinets and selling
like,
them on
with
websites.
With all the stuff you have going on in your life, how do you have
late
time?
Late at night.
How is that like before or after your cheese raid?
Scroll down. Bags of piss.
What do you mean? Wait.
You're going to make me log in. But like, keep going down. Watch.
What do you mean socks, Mike?
Watch. See that missing sock?
Shut up.
He takes pictures of missing socks. Now, is he trolling? Is he trolling or is he really selling cabinet kids?
Bro, shut up.
But keep going. Look, a missing sandal. Why did he post that? A missing glove. So in a way.
I can't. Was it Monday? I can't
keep,
do this.
Keep dark, going, bro. Keep going.
I can't
it gets
no,
worse.
No, I don't. I'm calling it quits here.
More
no,
gloves. No, missing gloves. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going, bro. It's just takes pictures of missing shit, dude. And so it's like, yo, are they wrong? Because why would he do that?
He's pointing to it.
Because why would he do it? Why would he do that, bro? A missing child's pacifier.
Oh,
in the
God.
Middle.
I can't breathe.
Why would you do that, dude? Maybe there are cabinet kids, bro. And there's pizzas
and
that
he's
come
trying
with...
to, he's trying to give you the signs of, like, where the person was taken.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Bro, maybe he's an undercover vigilante.
Like, dude, this is horrible. Does pizza really come with human flesh on it? Like, I don't fucking know. It's all pepperoni, human flesh. Because that's what they say.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Oh, man, this is tricky. But yeah, fuck you, Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yeah, that's fucked.
I hope you get exactly what you deserve.
I thought you were going to say exonerated.
Never. I hate her. I watched the Epstein documentary. It also made me lose so much faith in the criminal justice system. In this country, like, it pisses you off. And that's why I went on that rant that one episode, the Black Lives Matter rant, because, like, I just get fed up when I see and hear this shit. And it was one of the things I cannot believe the irresponsibility of some of our elected authorities, the people in charge. What the fuck are we doing?
That raises the question. Do we elect Kanye for president?
All right, so it's another one. And also, I should put this on before we table this completely. Some of this stuff, like what you're saying right now, is absolutely true. Are corporations in this country and elected officials involved in terrible things where they're taking money to push the agendas of corporations? Yes. But the question is, where does the sane person draw the line and say, okay, yes. Do you think Bill Clinton or Trump or whoever has taken money to push forward their own agenda in Korea or China or whatever to make more money? Yes. Do I think Tom Hanks is selling children in cabinets? No. Like, where do you stop, right?
Where do you stop is the big question.
Yeah, and it's by person. I don't believe any of the shit to me. It's very I do enjoy watching it, but I don't enjoy the fact that so many people have gotten involved in it. That scares me.
Subscribe to that narrative. It's weird. That also makes me lose a lot of faith in humanity. People just want to latch onto shit. Like you said, I mean, people are just bored and want to believe in something. It's sort of like the same phenomenon. I'll compare it to the flat earth movement. Like you obviously, you fucking morons.
But it's
like,
almost worse.
It gives you something
open
to
your
do.
Eyes for, it gives you something to do. Yeah. It gives you a little bit of purpose. Makes you feel like you're a part of a group, a clique, a circle. Like
you're
that's
an internet
exciting.
Detective, right?
That gives you purpose. Yeah. Now you know something that you think no one else knows. Like, shut the fuck up.
They do bowling on Tuesday nights. Be a part of that. Go bowl.
Go bowl.
Join a cycling team. Do a pizza eating contest. Maybe not pizza. Don't do a pizza eating contest unless you want to sell kids in cabinets.
Yeah. No.
Pizza's
yeah.
canceled now?
So look, Kanye West is running for president. For real?
For real?
Yes.
The way you just said that was incredible.
No, that's his campaign slogan.
Yes.
His campaign slogan's yeah?
Yeah, no, it's yes.
See, if I was running for president, I don't think I need a slogan because my name's Logan.
Wow.
You're
that was incredible.
It would just be Logan Paul.
Who knows? But listen, the country is in desperate need of sound leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why I'm going to be running for president in 2032. Not yet, but I'll be there.
We know.
But I read something about the Kanye thing and it sort of scared me a little bit.
What part?
So if he's really running for president.
Uh-huh.
Who do you think is going to vote for Kanye?
Yeah, yes.
Millennials.
No, yeah. Biden. Yeah. Biden fucking voters.
Biden. People who would vote for Biden.
That's the only reason why it gets messy. That's where it gets messy.
You see these pictures of Kanye with Trump. He visited the office. He wore the MAGA hat. He was on the Trump wave at one point in his life. And if he runs for president and takes away votes from Biden, that would essentially be voting for Trump.
Do you remember the Harambe write-in for the last election? You were able to write, people were writing Harambe into the vote.
The ape.
I'm trying to think of the right way to phrase this, and I can't, unfortunately.
How many people did?
But a lot. But a lot more would do it for Kanye.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, and so, the entire idea of him even saying it is absolutely the dumbest shit I hate it. I hate it so much. It's just indicative completely of where we've come to as a country that people care enough about that to actually Chance the Rapper today came out and basically was approving and supporting him. Which okay.
What don't you like his Kanye?
Here's what I don't like. Here's what I don't like. When something happens that's a joke, we used to laugh at it. It used to be, oh, Kanye West is running for president. We would all have a laugh, and then we would get back to business as usual.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, because of how stupid this country currently is and what we believe, which is that the dumbest shit is possible to happen, which it is,
mm-hmm.
people latch onto the idea, and it starts to distract from the real situation, which is we have two candidates already. Kanye West, I did this with Trump. I did this with Trump, and I lost. And I'm going to do it again. Kanye West will never be the president of the United States of America. I can make that bluntly. And I hate saying that because it scares me to say it, but
I don't know if
positive.
You can say that word anymore, though. Never.
You're right.
Because it did happen with Trump. I thought it was a joke.
You're right.
Like many people, I was like, yeah, Trump, Donald Trump, guy from The Apprentice is running for president of the United States. No chance. I would have bet my life he wouldn't have been elected as president.
A businessman who has... you know, or at least his thought.
Is Kanye not a businessman?
He is.
He is.
Yeah, it's a great point. It's a great point.
I
don't know what the reasoning is, but a rapper, like, okay, so once again, where do you draw?
You know he's more than a rapper, though.
Once again, where do you draw the line is my question. Like, can it be anybody? Here's my question.
Okay.
Who's someone that's over 35 that has more clout than Kanye? There's got to be somebody. Who? Snoop Dogg. But at what point, like, do you start to look at this person and be like, okay, Jay-Z, for example, another businessman. Like, what if he throws his hat in the ring? What if Nas throws his hat in the ring? What if, Adam 22 says, I'm gonna be, like, at what point do you start to say, yo, like, can we focus on the people that can actually be the president?
I thought that's what America was about, that anyone could grow up to be whatever they wanted to be. And, like, if someone throws their hat in the ring to be president of the United States, it's okay to... possibly consider their chance at the title.
So we only know what we know. I'm here for Kanye announcing that he's running for president. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
It's exciting. It's maybe kind of funny. I'm not sure exactly what to make of it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Again, his actions will determine what his true intention is. If he's out there doing like proper campaign speeches and doing debates and learning about the country and what it needs and having a campaign manager with a plan, maybe he is serious.
Well, from what I understand, he cannot even run because he missed the cutoff for like eight states. But so listen, let's all be honest with each other sitting right here on the podcast right now before this gets too out of control. Kanye West is not going to win the election in 2020. It's not going to happen.
I'd say it's super unlikely, but it's
not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. 100% guaranteed not going to happen. So if you're watching this show right now and you're thinking to yourself, I'm going to vote for Kanye West, man, like his intro or his prelude or the skits in that song. Mm-hmm. My dad went to college, man. You remember those? Yeah. I'm going to vote for Kanye, man. He's going to fucking turn this country into all rappers, man. We're going to have fucking...
Again, you know that he's not just a rapper. Like, you can't... say that is to completely discredit everything he's done in the past 10 years, which is build a multi-billion dollar company.
What would you call him?
I would call him an entrepreneurial mastermind artist.
So, in Mike's, like, he's just spewing a sentence and he's using a word to describe human.
But it's just like...
I get his point.
He's just like, I'm primarily a YouTuber, right? But, like, I do a lot of shit.
But he's not... He wouldn't just be a rapper. He's an artist.
He's not reducing Kanye West to just being a rapper, but just for the sake of what he's saying.
Rapper to a lot of people has a negative connotation because so
did reality star. Absolutely. And then Donald Trump became president.
Donald Trump was also a business magnate.
But it depends what you knew him from.
Sure.
Because he's a business magnate. I'd probably still say that guy from The Apprentice. I wouldn't be like, businessman, because I'm a millennial.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
But that would also discredit a lot of other stuff he did.
But that's not the intention of what Mike's saying.
Sure.
Here's my problem. Here's my issue with all of it and with anybody throwing their hat in the ring. The president of the United States is not supposed to be a popularity contest. It's not supposed to be a contest of like, yo, we fuck with that dude's music and Yeezys, bitch. I fuck with them shoes, bitch. It's not supposed to be about that. Let me ask you precisely right now. What policy of Kanye's do you like best?
Oh, no.
He actually had an interesting Forbes article that came out. They did a 4-hour interview. They definitely...
He got slammed for the whole thing.
Yeah, they cut it down.
He hates vaccines. Like, what do you like?
What do I like about it? I like his ability to speak the truth in the face of whoever has ever come at him. Like, we've seen him multiple times and time again just thrown under the bus when Kanye West says he's going on to be the greatest artist of all time. Doing this, doing that. I'm going to do this.
Resilience.
Resilience. As far as policy... He hasn't really said much on his policies, is still time. I'm not. I agree that he might not make it as this year's candidate. That would be ridiculous. But someone that wants to eventually be president of the United States needs to practice their campaign run. Donald Trump got lucky on his first one. Joe Biden's been running for president for a long time now, right?
Well, no, this is his first official run because Hillary got the nod last time. So this is his first official.
But he was still in candidacy.
For the party, yeah, I believe so. I could be wrong,
start somewhere, and eventually along that line, you build up your policy to become a candidate for the president of the United States. You have to start somewhere.
What I guess I'm getting at is this: in the past, the policy of a person that's going to run for president has always been based on the policies they've held before that role in other offices. Yo, I did this for this city. I helped fix the infrastructure in this place. I helped get more rights for Hispanics in this city. It's always been based on what were you able to do in Senate? What were you able to do as the governor? What were you able to do in House of Representatives?
Was Ronald Reagan in that at all?
I don't know Ronald Reagan's portfolio prior to presidency. My assumption is he had some sort of credit to his name. At what point did we get to be a country where someone was just like, yo, that A Dark Twisted Beautiful Fantasy was a dope album. Did I say that right?
My Beautiful Dark Twisted.
My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy was a dope album. Mm-hmm. This dude can fix the water problem in Flint, Michigan. Please. How the fuck did that dude Apprentice.
I think you're skipping a lot of things to make a point to discredit
his
campaign.
Because listen, it's like, running for president without establishing a record of policy is like saying I am the best rapper alive or the best I am the best candidate to be called best rapper alive, yet I have no songs.
If he does build up a record of policy over the next 4 to 8 years, would you start being
completely
open to
different.
The idea of
and
being
that's, yes, and that's I'm just it's not about Kanye. It's about our current climate of being cool with the idea of somebody, just because they're a cool person or you like the fact that they did billion-dollar businesses, being the president of this country. That is not a billion-dollar business, being able to brand a cool company, being a great rapper. Those are not prerequisites or acceptable experiences for president of the United States, as we are seeing right fucking now. Do you understand? I understand that they're prerequisites,
but like in
you're acknowledging Kanye's brilliance,
absolutely,
of course,
and his ability to jump verticals,
yes, and do everything incredibly well.
Right. So if this is what I'm saying, if he really devoted his life to the political climate over the next decade, maybe Michael here would be a little bit more open to the idea of Kanye being president.
Absolutely.
Right now, we already just said it, like he's not going to be the 2020. President of the United States of America. He's not going to get elected. No, he's not. And I also think it is dangerous that he's doing what he's doing, because it is distracting people from the mission at hand. The people who are going to vote for Joe Biden will now vote for Kanye West. And
but you don't know that.
No, we don't know.
You don't know that.
Well, technically,
because that's to say that anyone that would vote for Joe Biden, anyone that would vote for Kanye would be a Democrat.
Well, that's
Kanye's already said he would run as a Republican if Donald Trump wasn't running.
Right, which is impossible.
So you might be taking Republicans from Donald Trump. You can't just say
that's destroying
Joe Biden.
I think we're like talking selectively about the millennials here, which are, I would bet, still a minority of the population.
I have no idea.
No, well,
compared to the people
who
are going to vote for Donald Trump.
Well, do millennials even vote?
That's what we're here to do is
tell them you gotta
go vote.
Do that.
Hey,
shit.
Did you guys register to vote yet? It's very easy. I'm pretty sure you can do it online.
We did a mail-in ballot because COVID or something like that. Yeah. Yep.
Well, let's take, by the way, quickly, let's take a quick step back from getting into the demographic specifics of it. The if Kanye were to shift the black vote, which is a Democratic vote, like that's just a statistic.
You can't say that.
No, it is. You can say that. There's whole
that's
studies
one
and statistics
thing that Kanye
on the
is completely going for. He wore the whole MAGA hat so that he could say that he is, like, it's okay to not be a Democrat and be black.
Fair. But let me just tell you this really quick. Just because we sit here talking about how Kanye is influential and a genius, I assure you, the black community as a whole does not look at Kanye West as that. When he says it's okay to be a Republican, I would assure you, 70% of the black community says, why the fuck am I listening to this strange man who does these strange things tell me about fucking politics?
Wait, it happened.
Yeah,
when he was in office with Donald Trump wearing the MAGA hat,
yeah.
Black Twitter exploded.
I mean, keep in mind, the big thing to remember here is when there is a viral tweet, something that goes viral on Twitter, this goes all the way back to cancel culture and everything we talk about, that's a bubble. It's a bubble. It's not in any way representative of the thought process of the rest of this country.
It is a little bit, not the entire country, but I promise you. You can't ignore it. Like, take note of the voice of the people, even if it is just on Twitter. Like, it is a large voice. Like,
a large voice, yes. But as Trump always talks about, the silent majority, and I hate to kind of quote him on this, but unfortunately, he's very right. Like, I'm talking like 98. Like, you can't take something that trends on Twitter and be like, oh, that's applicable to the rest of the country. It's not.
Yeah, okay.
It's not.
Okay.
It's just not. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So all of us in LA here, we're like, bro, Kanye crushed the branding and like all that stuff. And we love Kanye. We love his albums, bro. I bump that shit all the fucking time, dude. I love No More Parties in LA. It's one of my favorite fucking songs. But from a political standpoint, would I feel good about Kanye West meeting with fucking the superior being of China or you know, and doing discussions about trade and war, and Kanye West who made the Kanye West mixtape Get Right for the Summer, having what's that,
he made porn.
No, but all those things, great songs, would I feel comfortable with him being like, yo, I made a dope album and I got my finger on the nuclear button? No.
Wait, question.
No.
Say he does, though. Say he is a legitimate candidate. Right now, you can choose. You, Mike Malak, you have the power to choose the president of these United States. You choosing Kanye West or Donald Trump to have those discussions and have your finger on that button.
Why are you doing this to me right now?
I don't know.
I'm not answering.
You've been very vocal about other people's stuff. Pick your poison, Mike. Who is it, Kanye or Donald Trump?
Like yo, who's yo, me honestly, with Kim Jong-un?
Okay. So I have been quoted in the past saying that I would vote a toaster oven over Trump. I've said it before. Okay. He. Listen, whether or not you like his policies, whether you like where he's pushing the country, economy soaring. I got an extra $120 in my pocket this week. Whether you like that or not, whether you got the extra buck to on here or not, the dude. It has no idea what he's doing from a foreign policy standpoint. He's breaking relationships with our allies. Like it's a disaster. The coronavirus response. These are things that everybody's aligned on. I'm not being biased. Everybody's aligned that we've failed in some massive ways under this presidency, right? But do I think that the guy that I bump or used to bump when I was sipping out of a red solo cup, chilling on a fucking hammock, smoking a blunt, and he was the go-to guy for my days back on the scene?
Yeah.
Would do a better job in negotiating business deals? I don't think so.
You don't think he could have a good cabinet around him?
Who would it be? Chance the Rapper? Fucking Jay-Z? No. And like, what's his cabinet going to be?
Dude, he's a leader of industry. He's literally one of the top people in the fashion industry. The fashion industry.
He's a hype beast.
All I'm saying is this. When you are now a multi-billionaire based on net worth, you have access to a lot of very interesting people that might not be accessible to someone who's just a Joe Schmo.
Let me ask you a question. If you were the head of defense.
Is that not true?
If you were the head of defense.
I'm sorry, I clocked out. I was just really, really thinking about Kanye West as the president.
That's fine. But this is what I'm saying, bro. If you have the ability to be at these weird, strange tables with people who are multi-billionaires or have access to people who are policymakers and all of the Washington D.C. type people, you can build a good cabinet around you.
Mac, let me ask you this question as a final note.
Sure.
If the plan ahead of him being elected is already to find a way to insulate him with good people because he does not know what the fuck he's doing, does that seem like a good starting point?
Maybe.
I'm making an argument that anyone can be president of the United States if they take the time, spend their lives working on the greater good of humanity. And what I'm seeing from this man in particular is that he has done a very good job at putting himself in a very influential place, building strong businesses around himself, turning it into an American-based business, and could potentially put very intelligent people around him that could help him make policies. And you know, when you go to war, you're never just going alone as the head honcho. You bring your generals and you bring your military in the House.
Do you know who appoints all those people? Do you know who appoints the justices? Like, bro, what is he going to do? Create the hard as a motherfucker act? Like he's going to go and just go ham.
That'd be cool.
Dude, this dude is, I love the idea of him going from rap to shoes. And listen, I don't want to block him, man. I don't want to block him. I don't want to stand here and be that fucking dude being like, and I can't, he's fucking 80 billion times bigger. Like what the fuck? But at the same time, why are we doing this? Why are we sitting here having a conversation that is so ridiculous currently, at least in this current election year? Why aren't we talking about policy? Why aren't we talking about the issues that fucking matter, bro?
I don't know enough. You've been stuck in the sand for too long.
Facts.
You're still listening? We love you. But yeah, I hope maybe you gained something from that conversation. Politics are tricky, bro. A lot of opinions. Everyone's got one. And some people, it's on their butt. What is the saying?
Yeah,
you got an opinion on your butt? It's your butthole.
Opinions like assholes.
Yeah.
Everybody's got one.
Everyone's got a butthole.
Yeah,
and most times, most
people.
Most times, I
think. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's somebody out there that doesn't have an asshole, but I'm not going to talk about it.
No, yeah. You pissed off way too many marginalized groups. Don't even go there. So, yo, I went to the ranch this past weekend. Love it there. Great
vlog
place.
Was great.
Thank you. Yeah, found that mountain lake, secluded mountain lake that someone man-made built, dammed up on the top of the mountain.
How many times do they have to pee in that to make it?
So they probably didn't use urine.
Oh.
Although I did read a comment. Someone commented that they've peed in that lake so many times. It's in the San Jacinto Mountains, and they poked a hole in a tube at the bottom of it.
Should we go find it?
I don't fucking know. But I brought three members of the Maverick Club up this weekend. Yeah, so we're really doing this thing, dude. Like, we're really trying to create and curate awesome experiences for our members.
Yeah.
And Ryan, Spencer, and Quinn Ryan was the member, and we drove from Chicago, and I was like, fuck it, dude. Like, come say what's up. Come vlog. We'll go to the ranch. I let him jump me in the Razor. We went on these hikes. They survived the wrath of Greg Paul. It was all good stuff. But off camera, it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows.
Uh-oh.
We had an issue with the one kid, Quinn, one night. And mind you, the ranch is in the middle of fucking nowhere. Yeah. The nearest hospital is not near. It's real far away. There's a 4-mile dirt road that you have to traverse is the word I'll use to get anyone in and out. And it's not ideal if things go wrong. I'll put it like that.
Sure.
We have a lot of things, first aid kits and healing remedies and a literal ambulance my dad's drives. But one of the kids, Quinn, he's over a trash can reading a Hot Pocket box, like a generic Hot Pocket box late at night. I'm like, what's she doing there, man? You counting calories? Right? Like, just trying to make some small talk. And he's like, no. He's like, no, I think, no, I think my throat's closing up. And I was like,
oh,
I was like, ah, da, da, da. What do you mean? He goes,
I'm like allergic to a lot of things. And I think I ate something.
Oh my God. And I'm like, are you fucking with me, bro? Because like, we need to handle this immediately. He goes,
yeah, I'm fine. I could just use a Benadryl.
And I'm like, holy fucking shit. God. So the house disperses. It's like 1 a.m. We're all looking for Benadryl. We don't have it.
Yeah, there's none there. I can tell you firsthand.
Why? Because you tried?
Well, I get bad bug bites sometimes.
No Benadryl.
Yeah.
Needless to say, now we're stocking the fuck up on Benadryl. Yep. But we're running around. We give him Claritin, Advil. We're checking every first aid kit there. And it was terrifying because here's this kid who we brought up here to have a great experience, you know.
And he's slowly dying.
and his throat is closing up. So I sit him down, get him out of the commotion. I'm like, here's what you need to do because we have no Benadryl. We're going to take you to the hospital right now, immediately right now. Or you're going to have to just close your eyes, focus on your breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, and let this wave pass. I can imagine the pain and discomfort you're going through, but unfortunately, we have two options. You either got to wait this out or we're taking you to the hospital right now. Damn. And I don't know how far it is, but we're going because I'll get you there. You give me the fucking word. I don't give a shit how late it is. I'm going to get you to that hospital.
Wow.
And the kid sat outside in the hammock. I gave him the megaphone speaker and a flashlight. And I was like, if anything goes wrong, hit this button. It's a siren.
Oh my God.
What about an EpiPen? Would that be good to have on
hand? So if you're allergic to things and you have this type of reaction, you should fucking bring an EpiPen.
Yeah,
even a Benadryl. Like, yo, if you know you're allergic to random items of food and random ingredients of God knows what you're going to eat, you need to bring the equipment with
or
you
just
to prevent
this
from happening.
First.
So he was reading the box after. He thinks it was because of generic Hot Pocket, not a real Hot Pocket, which we would have at the ranch. But long story short, he ended up being okay. He just calmed down a little bit. We kept him moving real slow, relaxed, outside in the kind of like, not cold, but wasn't hot. Calmed him down, cooled him off, and he ended up being okay. But it was scary. Like, if that happened with one of us, it's a different story. Happened to a fucking kid, 19 years old, wants to come hang out with Logan Paul at his ranch for the first time, and his fucking throat goes, nah, bitch. Tightens like a sphincter. No good. But it ended up being all right, and it was a fucking awesome experience. These kids are great, and just looking forward to doing more stuff at the Maverick Club. It's cool. It's like an outlet for me.
I'm glad that worked out. I think that's cool that those kids had a similar interest to you in vlogging, right? Like, the trip was to vlog, right?
Yeah.
Had they been vloggers, or did they?
They are up-and-coming YouTubers.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, which I also love. I love it. So I hopped on a Zoom call with him.
Yeah.
And he's like, yo, we want to vlog us coming across the country. And I was like, yeah. Like, I love a spunky young creator.
Yeah.
And it's cool because you can imagine, too. I didn't give them, like, tutorials and, like, mentorship, but just being around me, George, Tanner Fox, like,
you guys talk shop.
They learn something. Yeah. I promise.
Well, and it's like it's probably like a dream of theirs to be in that scenario, dude. You know what I'm saying? It was probably amazing for them.
Well, overall, like I said, overall it was fantastic. We watched the UFC fights up there, UFC 251.
So what happened there? Somebody got robbed, yeah? One of the guys?
It's
Dana White seemed like it was. That's
Max
one
Holloway,
of the ways I
Volkanovski.
Knew I was a little weird And I've always known I'm a little fucking weird. I'm a weird person. But everybody in the world was watching that fight. Yeah. Everybody in the world was watching that fight. And I was watching The Matrix 1. The first Matrix. I rewatched it.
Classic.
If you haven't seen The Matrix, they put out a list of, and I want to go obviously get into the UFC shit, but they put out a list of like the greatest mind fuck movies. Obviously, Inception, your favorite Interstellar was on there.
I screenshotted your tweet.
You hated it because Interstellar wasn't on there, right?
No, yeah, but yeah. It should have been. But yeah. I screenshotted because I want to watch Requiem for a Dream.
So in my eyes, Requiem for a Dream is most mind fucked movie ever made. It is dark.
I got one darker.
Donnie Darko?
Enter the Void.
Oh, Enter the Void, yeah. I've never seen Donnie Darko. I've never seen, and I feel bad saying that because people have always told me that Donnie Darko was one of the biggest mind fucks. But The Matrix is definitely on there. You know, this idea that the machines won this war that prefaced your life, and you are now just spoiler alert for people who haven't watched it. Kind of, you are now just an organism that fuels those machines, and you are you perpetually live in a simulation so that your body can continue to create power for the machines, and you don't know it. You don't know it. Right now, you're watching us. You're listening to a podcast. We're all just a computer program. This is all just a computer program, and obviously that's based on theories of Descartes and a lot of other people that have come before, and really interesting shit. But there's a lot of undertones in that movie about God and the second coming with Jesus and like all these things. Just incredible, incredible film. If you haven't seen The Matrix 1, 2, 3, go watch those.
I'm going to do that.
Immediately. UFC.
Yeah, so the UFC 251 took place on Fight Island. They're still doing the no audience thing, which I love. I'm a huge fan of that. I actually like it more than people screaming. Maybe because I'm a little bit interested in what the coaches are saying. I like hearing those big fucking hits. And it's interesting, again, how the announcers, the commentators, can be heard by the fighters. So when Michael Bisping is saying things about like what they need to do, like they're taking the fighters can hear them.
Yeah.
And
you
can hear him lower his decibel level when it gets a little quieter. And it's just like the stakes and then the tension in that room. You could probably cut it with a fucking knife. But yeah, Alexander Volkanovsky and Max Holloway had a very good fight, 5-round fight, championship fight. And this guy Volkanovsky is the champion. And it was a little controversial because it was a split decision that probably could have gone both ways. Mm-hmm. But what we're seeing time and time again is because people are saying Holloway got robbed. If you want to beat the champ, you got to beat the fucking champ.
Decisive. Don't give it to the judges.
No 3-2 shit. Like we saw it with Jon Jones and a handful of other fighters. You have to beat the champ. Did I think Max Holloway got robbed? Mm. Yeah. But also I'm seeing a pattern in the UFC. Like they're not... Maybe because it is a business at the end of the day. They ain't going to give it to someone who they think maybe can detract from the audience that is UFC fans. If Volkanovsky,
so whack,
who's an Australian,
that's so whack.
Is
that
bringing in a large audience from Australia who's watching his fights, like, yeah, it's whack, but it is a business, bro.
No,
shit's
I get
fucked.
It, but that's
corrupt.
The sanctity of... So, you know, I'm sure it's the same in boxing, too, but it's like the sanctity of judging should matter. Like, the
idea
that
you
can't rely on... So why even have the judges? Why even have the judges? Just say it like this.
Why not
just,
fight 100 rounds?
No, just say it like this. If you don't knock the champ out, you ain't the champ. Why even have the judges?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? At what point does it not even fucking matter? Question for you. Masvidal loses, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Masvidal lost.
Big news, yeah?
Yeah, because he's street Jesus. He's a game bred fighter. He's bred to be game.
So and obviously, you know, he got that huge confidence booster with the Jake Paul post before the fight, which...
Yeah, which didn't... It wasn't enough, it
wasn't
turns
enough
out.
To get it through, but my question is my question is this. Wasn't Masvidal a bad motherfucker? Does he lose that title?
Oh, that's a good... Remember, I don't think he does.
I know, so this is where I come in. I bring the weird stuff, because I'm obviously don't watch, you know, religiously like you guys, but...
bad motherfucker belt.
From Nate Diaz.
Bad motherfucker, yeah.
So shouldn't Usman technically be the bad motherfucker if he beat the bad motherfucker?
I'm going to be honest, bro. Usman is the bad
motherfucker.
He's bad. Everyone knows. We've seen... He's just beating the... That's a problem.
20-pound loss?
You can't do that.
He did it.
You can do it, but you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
If you want it, not against Kamaru fucking Usman.
That was a tough challenge.
I've said this before, and I learned my lesson after the Tyron
Woodley
fight.
Oh, my God.
Usman ain't a guy to bet against. He's one of the most solid fighters in the game, and sure, the fight was the most entertaining thing ever, but Jorge Masvidal is no walk in the park.
Absolutely
You're not going to walk through this guy. He's a fiery motherfucker. It's street Jesus.
I'd love to see him to be the champ.
I mean, I'm saying, but again, taking a fight on 6 days' notice, ballsy, game-bred fighter. This day, he wasn't bred to be game enough.
Yeah.
I saw him laying on a bed or whatever with towels over him doing the just weight cut sweating. The day before the weigh-ins. And
what does
and,
that do to you?
Dude, you have no idea.
That's why I asked.
Right. Right. So we did this for wrestling.
Yeah.
And football season, I'm 195. Wrestling, my coach is like, yo, we want you to wrestle 170. I go, no problem, coach. I'll cut that weight. Look at me. I'm 195 now.
You're solid.
If I lost 25 pounds right now, I don't know where that weight comes from. And I was wrestling a match at 170 one time, and how it works in wrestling anyways, you'd weigh in, and then you get to eat before your match. And so that on this particular day, I weighed in at 169.9 or whatever, and then just pounded a fucking meal or two or three an hour before my match. And I remember wrestling this kid, and I was like, yo, this is one of the worst experiences of my life. I am so incredibly weak right now. I could barely move my legs, and it wasn't a hard match.
Yeah.
And it drained me, and I experienced it again when I cut weight for The Thinning, that movie, The Thinning, and even my first fight against KSI. Cutting weight affects people differently, but for me, just makes me weak, depletes my mental strength, and overall just like shrinks me as an athlete.
You turn into a raisin.
You don't think you don't think it does that to I would assume it's got to really fuck
some
with
people
you.
Are smarter with it. I didn't do it the healthiest way. Again, this is like coming from a dude in Ohio that like thinks he knows
chicken
how to
patty
eat
chicken patty and water.
Yeah, that's how I come to he'd see it. I come to school, I'd eat a chicken patty, I'd have my pack of trail mix in the morning. 700 calories a day was my limit. 700 healthy calories a day. And I would not go over that no matter what, and then have to do a wrestling practice on top of it. Yo, it is the hardest thing to try to exert energy when you have none. Look, I actually have before and after pictures of me when I cut 25 pounds in wrestling. And I was a senior in high school, and you'll be surprised because you can't actually see that much of a difference. Because And these top tier athletes also, dude, left is 195.
Nah, you could tell.
Right is 170. So first, I've noticed the color of my skin.
Yeah,
I think you were closer in the other one, so it kind of throws off the perspective.
No. Same backdrop. Same distance.
No. Okay, you can tell immediately when I look at that left bicep.
Oh,
do you know what I'm saying? Like you can tell immediately that left bicep is deflated.
Your sides are probably shrunk a little bit.
I'm pink. Look,
there, that's better. That's better. That one's closer from a
yeah. Your skin are in the width category.
Dude, I hated myself. So imagine in 6 days trying to make 170 when I bet these dudes are walking around at 185, 190, and you could see it at the end of the fight. Masvidal was breathing real heavy, and he was still trying so hard to do his thing and have fun and. You know, stick his tongue out and be the game bred fighter, but yeah. Usman is not he ain't the guy.
Credit to both fighters, though. I mean, great fight.
Yep.
Does anybody else? I hate to say this, but I get so pumped when the stick the tongue out guy loses. It's my favorite.
If you're gonna stick your tongue out, you can't.
Yeah, you can't.
It's like calling game.
Yeah.
He was holding the bat to the outfield
when you're about to
strike out.
just pull your tongue out after you win, or don't. Just be humble in your victory.
But then again,
fighting's different. I can't speak.
No one likes that. Like safe. Like. I think I can say this pretty confidently. Like Usman is beating the shit out of people, running through the division. No one's beating him. He still ain't going to be getting those McGregor checks because he plays it safe.
Yeah, facts.
He gets the job done. He beats people up, but not in a spectacular fashion. Where
gotta be an entertainer too.
Yeah, I mean, McGregor is a showman through and through, and he proves it when he talks, and he proves it when he fights. He knocked Donald Cerrone out partially with his fucking shoulders.
Oh, that was nasty.
With his shoulder, which, by the way, Usman was doing. It's now a move that people practice in the UFC. You're punching people in the face with your shoulder. So, yeah, the reason we love Jorge Masvidal, we love Street Jesus, is because he is that showman. Mm-hmm. When he beat the shit out of Nate Diaz, he's laughing, he's sticking his tongue out, he's blowing kisses. He was doing it in this fight, too, I think, in, like, the third round. Problem is, you're getting the shit kicked out of you. So it's not as cool anymore when you're trying to be cool and you ain't looking great.
It's part of the fight, though. So, just taunting, yeah. Right? Like, you got, maybe you can get in the mental of the other guy.
I don't know. I've always...
Because he does it over the shoulder. He was like blowing kisses, bro. Fucking swollen eye, cut on his...
I've seen that with other people, too. I feel like Diaz does that, too. Like, he's bleeding.
Well, Diaz is... He always bleeds.
He always bleeds, right? And he still... And he always wins, yeah. Crazy, bro.
We didn't really talk about Will and Jada. We got to talk about the entanglement. It's just funny. It's so interesting.
So what happened? So it's been well established, maybe in Hollywood, and now the world knows that they are indeed an open marriage relationship.
Well, I don't know if you call it that. They took a break, right? They took a break, and then she went and
still married.
Right. Mm-hmm. But they took a break, and Jada had been cultivating this friendship with the.
August
Anzalone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And whatever the person's name. I don't have any idea.
August Alcina.
And had been cultivating this relationship as a friendship. But then when Will and Jada took that step back and took the break, she decided, you know, like, let's see where this goes. And there was this moment. They came together on the red table last week and talked about it. And it was heartbreaking. It was sad to see Will Smith look like that. I mean, look at bro. This.
Jada got Will looking like he's back in the pursuit of happiness. Are you?
Oh no,
bro. I mean, dude.
He handled this like straight up. Jada's like, yeah, like I got caught up and like basically, yeah. So sure, I like fuck this dude. And I probably have a pretty visceral reaction that doesn't look like this. Like he sat there and like a man and listened to his wife. What?
No, you're right. I mean,
like, I was so impressed.
He's devastated. Like, you could tell in his eyes, but he still sat there and listened very clearly and supported her and everything. And then obviously, you know, Twitter did what Twitter does and you know, meme the fuck out of him and took his infamous Fresh Prince of Bel-Air scene where he's talking about his father not being there and turned it into a, you know, this timeless new scene where he's talking about not needing Jada in his life. I did Bad Boys 1, 2, and 3 without her. I don't need, like, and so it's, you know, it's just another scene of the fucked up, you know, place that we live in where somebody's pain is somebody else's, you know, laughter. But
do you think it brought them closer together?
Oh, yeah.
Seems like
I think they're operating on a wavelength that few human beings are, where they really can visualize and grasp the concept of the bigger picture.
Yeah.
The Smith family. Love. Mm-hmm. Friendship. Camaraderie till death. A lot of people are so rash with how they act and hasty with their
impatient,
emotions.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So at their age, I think it's like just two very wise people who can really relate and empathize with their partner to a degree that like most human just can't, literally cannot conceptualize.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't have reacted like Will Smith. I'm telling you right now, like let alone gone on a TV show to talk about it publicly.
That said, who knows what his initial reaction looked like?
Yeah,
his initial reaction could be much more closer to you, which would be going Masvidal, you know, style and just throwing fucking chairs across. Who knows, right? but like, you know, obviously he went on the show and, you know, he started getting shit from other bit, you know, like 50 was taking shots at him and people online. Like, let's be clear. I don't care who you are, if you're watching this or it somehow gets clipped or whatever. Will Smith can fuck your bitch, your girl. Will Smith can fuck your guy. I promise you, Will Smith can fuck your girl, dude. I assure you, that dude is like he doesn't want to because he only wants Jada. That's all he wants. But like, let's keep it fucking.
Did he not? He didn't fuck around during their separation.
I don't know. I mean, they didn't talk about it. I would assume Will Smith strikes me as the kind of guy that's not going to do that. He strikes me as the kind of guy that was probably sitting at home with the kids. And Jada was just out getting fucking piped, bro. Which is just. It's just a sad.
What if it's the opposite?
What if it is the opposite? I mean, who knows? We're speculating.
What I'm saying is, it could be the total opposite. Like, you don't know. Will could have been out there being a dirty dog, and maybe Jada really was an entanglement.
Well, why didn't that make
an entanglement? She called it an entanglement. He goes, a relationship.
She's an older woman getting with a younger man. Like, he had to know that he wasn't going to win that for a long time, right? Like,
but why didn't that hookup make it to the red table talks?
Like who did Will's? Will?
If Will was fucking around, you feel me?
Take the pound town.
I don't know. Maybe it's like to. I think it was just an open conversation, right? But if Will didn't, didn't talk.
Props to them. I hope it all works out. Yeah,
relationships are tough. Just be good to each other. I mean, that's really the end of it. You ever be swimming in the pool
Oh boy.
And there's hella debris floating around the pool. And you know, you're in the pool with your girl. So I was swimming around the other night with my girlfriend. It was pitch black. Mm-hmm. And we even turned the pool lights off. So it was just the light of the moon.
Yeah, luminescence.
Yeah, it was just like a nice, like a little sexy scene. We're swimming around and there's some debris because the pool cleaner, he ain't been coming as much as he used to come.
Yeah, COVID.
And there's just, you know, leaves here. I think there's like even a Yoo-Hoo box in one spot. Right. And I see this leaf. And I pick it up by the stem that comes off the leaf. And I'm like, oh, here you go. And I huck it at Amara. And I go, look out, baby, a rat. Like that. And she's like, she goes, and starts screaming. I'm laughing at her, looking. I could just make her face out. And I go, babe, chill the fuck out. It's a leaf. She looks, she's looking down at the leaf that I threw her. And she goes, no, it's not. It's a fucking rat. Subconsciously, in my mind, I knew that I was picking a rat up, a dead, floating, bloated animal from the pool by its tail, not the stem of the leaf, and hucking at her face, bro.
Threw a fucking rat at his girlfriend.
A fucking dead rat, bro.
Now there's two people that have had rats on their rat heads.
Bro, no, I'm telling you, this house, no, because me too, we've all had rat problems. This house has a lot of rats running around.
Hannah, Jeff's baby mama, said that it's the vines on the house. They like to live in them.
She goes,
entangled.
We have to do something about it. I go, yeah, I'm going to do something about it. I'm getting out the pool and I'm going in the motherfucking house. So and I'm never looking back.
How
and
she did goes, you not know?
She wouldn't
Mike.
Let it happen. So then she fucking names it. First step of failure. Now it's got a name. You go out there and you bury Jerry. Properly.
She named it
Jerry. No. So I go out. No. I look at it. He's just floating there, all docile, but he's not having a good time. Clearly, he wants a proper burial. So I'm like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" She goes, "Go ahead. Like, let's handle this." So she comes out. I go in the backyard. I fucking dig a hole. First hole I dig, I hit a pipe in the backyard. So I'm like, "Fuck, can't bury him here." So I have to dig another.
How
fucking,
deep are you, bro?
Bro,
how deep are you going?
Broly's gonna dig him up.
How deep are you going?
30, 40 feet. I would say I brought out the fucking auger. I had the fucking, the post hole.
Not
digger.
The auger.
The auger. So I'm digging this hole and, you know, we lay him in there and she goes, goodbye, Jerry. And I go, because by the way, it was a mouse, not a rat. And so like you have a little bit more respect for the animals. Yeah. It was a mouse, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, do you want to say, like, how does this work? So I've never personally buried an animal before.
Ever?
No. And it was a learning experience for me. And I said, should we say a few words? I said, you know, Lord, please, you know, accept Jerry into your kingdom. He was a good animal. And honestly, I don't know if he was a good animal. He could have been selling cabinets for Wayfair. I don't fucking know, dude. You know what I'm saying? Who knows? And so I dig this hole and I bury him. And at the end of it, I put the dirt on him lightly. And then I was like, bro, he's going to dig this up. I was trying to be so respectful. But then I started smashing the dirt. She's like, you can't do that to Jerry.
That's weird how situation. Your girlfriend bonded with her.
She's so compassionate.
She is. Another quick story. She was so compassionate. She gave me her Lambo yesterday. It's right there. You can see it. The Huracan, V10 Huracan, the Lambo in the driveway. Yeah. And she gives it to me and she says, be careful with it. Don't go above 50. And if the light comes on for the tire, you stop and you put air in it and don't do this and don't do that. And the first thing I did when she stopped talking was drive it into a pole, dude. Yeah, yeah. Hit the mirror right on the side of a fucking pole. The mirror went, and I opened the window and I go, I am so sorry. And she's like, how the fuck do you do that? You didn't even make it out of the fucking parking spot yet. And there was a lot going on. She was standing there. She was putting too much pressure on me, dude.
Yeah, when the pressure should have been put in the tire that's flat.
It is flat. It is great. That's a good one.
I'm surprised she trusts you with that because your driving is good.
No, it's good. You let me drive the G-Wagon. I had a little fault there because there was a person parking next to me. She was standing behind me. There was a pole that I kind of forgot about the pole.
Yeah. How's your driving record?
Driving record's bad, but that's only when Xanax is included. Right. I was never able to combine the Xanax and the driving. It's always been tough for me. It will because more what it is I like it to sleeping while driving. Would either of you be good at that? It's extremely fucking challenging. I've tried it a couple times. Yeah. It's impossible.
I did it one time. I was driving to a baseball game like 6 o'clock in the morning, far on the east side of Cleveland. And I was just like, I was driving down the road. I was like, oh, I'm tired. I'll just take a quick little nap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, behind the wheel.
I was on the right side of the road when I started. And then I was on the left, right, real close to the center.
Oh, you figured you would take the nap while still going.
While I was
classic
driving.
Mistake.
And
classic
that,
mistake.
You know, 10 seconds, not 10 seconds, probably 5 seconds later, I was like, oh, I should probably not nap here. I'll nap when I get to the field. Yeah.
They say driving while tired dwarfs driving while intoxicated. Makes it, it is 50,000 times worse than driving while intoxicated.
Our cousin Will fell asleep at the wheel.
Yep.
And while I empathize with him, I gotta say, I'm always very confused at the falling asleep at the wheel stories. Never understand it. I mean,
rhythm of the road.
Yeah, driving for hours.
I've been tired. I've almost fell asleep at the wheel. But guess what happens before I fall asleep at the wheel?
You pull over.
I pull over. I get some hot Cheetos. I do jumping jacks and drink a coffee. I'm back in action. Like, the risk reward.
You're obviously 100% right.
It's a one-time thing. I have never since that time thought I should just take a nap while driving.
No, like, Mac, the verb you're using makes this sound... sarcastic. You didn't think you could take a nap.
I am not kidding you. In my head, I was like, oh, yeah, I'll just close my eyes.
Wait, what?
I'm not kidding.
Why
I was driving.
Did you
I was like,
that?
Because it was 6 a.m. and I was exhausted. Mine were, I went to bed at like 3 a.m. I was 17, bro.
Mine were intentional.
I can't get on board for this.
No.
Well, you don't have to because it's never going to happen again. But
it's like, I'm not asking for your participation. I'm simply telling you a story.
Yeah. It's not that. I maybe because in your delusion you thought I could probably drive with my eyes closed.
Absolutely, no one on the road. Yeah. I was like, I'm fine.
So you were dreaming already at that point.
Yeah.
You were like, fuck, you were already sleeping.
I don't like.
See,
this.
For me, mine were intentional. My eyes just closed because I lost control of my body because I was so fucked up, and so like I just. Like this was me, dude, just driving along, and then what happens? You start to veer at first. And I veered, and quite literally, this story is in the book, I drove off a cliff. I drove my car off a cliff, bro. But first, I drove through two telephone poles and a guardrail,
so you
which
had
I had to pay
to
for.
Known, you had to have known what for. You were doing. You, like, if you skirted through that stuff, you had to
if
have
I
known.
Tell you, if I tell you the last memory I have from that night, it was hours earlier. While I was still at my friend's house, bro. I literally don't even remember getting in the, this is horrible. This is, I know we're kind of laughing about it, but at the same time we're laughing because of how stupid it is. If you're fucked up or you're tired or whatever, don't drive your car. But obviously in my old days, like, I wasn't thinking clearly. And I drove off a cliff. And that woke me up. Don't get me wrong. That woke me up. Yeah. I woke up covered in fucking blood and I was at the bottom of a ravine and I was like, yo, this is not okay. Gotta get your sleep, dude. You gotta get your sleep.
Took a lot of Xanax that night. I remember you telling me how much you took. Don't
stop
do
doing Xanax. People need to stop doing drugs, Xanax, bro. So we should touch on this really quickly too. The Juice album dropped. Great album.
Yeah.
Great album. Running the fucking world right now. Most you know, third most streamed album in the first day all time. Spotify beat only by Post Malone's album. I think it was Beer Bongs and
Pop Smoke.
Scorpion by Drake.
What?
130 million streams in the first day on that album, and nobody's even close. Nobody's even close. I mean, Juice is like 73 or something like that. But great album. Love Wishing Well, which I guess leaked already. The song with Marshmello is great. The Halsey, I mean, great album. But listening to it, and I was obviously never a Juice fan. It's not my age demographic, but just really fucking sad, dude. Just really, really sad to listen to someone who clearly had that level of talent.
Yeah.
I mean, just super fucking talented, incredible musically. His message was great, but it just brings me back once again to the albums that Mac was making prior to his death.
Mm-hmm.
And to just think to myself, like, once again, the labels, whoever it is, if your artist is starting to make music about the high potential and high likelihood that they are going to die that day because they are taking overdose amounts of pills, step the fuck in.
Yeah.
I don't care if you have to tie the artist up. They're not a way for you to harvest cash for your label. That's not, these are people. Like, something should have been done when he was saying, I used to take drugs, now the drugs take me. Mm. Like, when you start talking about that, like, when you hear your artist start talking about the high likelihood of overdose or suicide by drugs or whatever it is, please fucking do something, dude. Something has to be done.
Mike, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
In that world, how many people who are like completely addicted to drugs and the drugs take them play it off like, I'm okay. No, I'm good.
Everybody.
Every single one.
Denial.
Defensive. And
oh my God. We're seeing it right now with, you know, to bring it back up again, or we haven't talked about on the show, Phase Rain. Norden from FaZe Clan. I mean, this has been an ongoing situation with him, and you know, a lot of fans have asked me to get involved, and I've been involved. And I just don't talk about it, but I've been involved, you know, for months. And it's a very similar situation. I mean, he's very vocal about his drug use. He sips lean on live. He pops handfuls of Xanax on live, and basically says, yo, to everybody, like, fuck off. I got this handled. Like, I know what I'm fucking doing. I'm not going to fucking overdose. And so, good news is he's doing better. Banks reported on it the other day. He's back home and everything's going great, which I'd absolutely fucking love to hear. But, yeah. It's become a massive part of the culture, especially in hip hop, to use drugs, heavy amounts of both cough syrup, lean and Xanax. And, you know, it's unfortunately when the culture and the fans embrace it, mm-hmm. it just stimulates it even more. And yeah. And now people are making money off sipping lean. If you're not sipping lean, you're not in the zeitgeist of the rap world right now. And so it's a sick and a sad place for us to be at. But I mean, until you know, the culture says doing drugs ain't cool anymore and stops buying that music, it's gonna keep happening. You know what I'm saying?
It's unlikely. Just sad. People love reckless people.
Facts.
People love that danger, that uncertainty, and the willingness to push yourself to a level that not a lot of humans are. You know, it's cool now, and sometimes the bigger picture is not so clear for some people.
That's why.
And so living in the moment, like I love living in the moment, but do it sparingly. Like don't forget to consider what the future could look like.
The drugs are the thing that that puts a wrench in those gears. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's why the book has been important to me. You know what I'm saying? Because I never wanted it to be a piece of work that that made people feel like, yo, this kid was reckless. This was cool. No, I want to tell you that when you do this shit, this is the fucking outcome.
Yeah,
this is what happens as a result.
You're reckless, right?
Yeah, like sort of.
But you've been reckless for a long time.
Sort of.
And you're also a person that does not take drugs.
It's calculated risk.
Nice. Love that. It's my favorite slogan in the world.
It's very calculated risk. Like I'm definitely much more reckless than the average person. I'm also much more equipped than the average person because of just the experience of being reckless since I was fucking 10 jumping off shit.
But like there are other people that are reckless. So like what would you suggest for someone who wants to continue being reckless but still have fun and maintain their sanity?
I think it comes down to risk reward.
Uh-huh.
That's how I usually weigh most of my decisions now. It's what's the risk on this, truthfully?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to try to be as unbiased as possible. What's the reward? So we're doing a stunt. Is this going to fuck me up? If so, worst case scenario, how long? Yeah. Is it a month? I could probably do that. 2-3 months? Surgery? No, I'm going to do that. That's stupid. Drugs specifically, what's the reward to have fun, to stimulate your mind in a way that it hasn't before been stimulated? Maybe,
but also what drugs?
That's like, what I'm saying. Like, is it getting addicted? Is it throwing your life away to a substance?
Because you're talking about in a way, like stimulating your mind and trying new things. Could, you know, if we're talking about psychedelic exploration, I've always been chill on this show about that. I'm not going to promote it, but at the same time, like if people are out there, you know, exploring the boundaries of this being in this and living on this earth, that's one thing. Sipping lean and taking Xanax is simply to mute everything that happens in your mind. That is why people do it. Coming from someone who has dealt with anxiety forever, who's prescribed 2 milligrams Xanax, who has done everything, that is simply an escape from the real world.
Right.
That's all it is. It turns off everything. Anytime you do that, the pitfalls, the detriment that you are doing, you have no idea. I mean, just shutting off your brain completely and settling into that place of having no feeling, no emotion, and complete and utter numbness is the last stop before death. That's all it is. That's all it is. You're just taking a quick pit stop before your death. And that's the ultimate numbness. And a lot of times you see that people that fall in love with that numbness here want the next step, end up wanting the next step, which is overdosing and dying.
Well, you know, I mean, how often do we see this happen with artists, man? Like artists they live in that like mental chaos, and sometimes turn to substance use as a catalyst, maybe as an aid to their music. Maybe it is to feel numb, whatever it is. Like, artists are historically pretty fucked up in the head. This is just how they are. That's why there's great artists.
Yeah.
And it's always a shame when we see someone like Juice WRLD lose the fight, I guess. Yeah. Because like you said, it's so clear when you listen to his Postmortem album how fucking talented this guy was.
Yeah.
Happened with X2, like, so much untapped potential, and it affects young people like us. Like, I'll speak specifically with X. Like, just it seems so wrong to this day. It seems so wrong. Like, it affects me. It brings me extreme sadness, because I have a fear now of death. Like, when I was young, when I was X's age, you know, 21, 22, I didn't really care.
It's so weird.
I was like, yeah, I don't give a fuck. You know, I lived a good life. If I die, I die. Now I'm 25. I'm like, oh man, it does get better. Like, it really does get better. Like, I want this to last as long as I possibly can make it last. This the gift of life is a precious gift that I want to cherish for as long as I can. So even now, like, and Jake, who is also, Jake is fucking reckless, but he's a little older, and he's a little less reckless. And I think with age, and it's subjective for each person what that age is, you start to realize, okay, my actions have consequences, and sometimes the consequences are dire, and I need to be very careful with what I'm doing and putting in my body.
So weird you say that, because it brings me back. Like, I just even writing the book and remembering it mentally, it doesn't even start to truly remind me of how bad it was. I mean, I honestly just didn't care. I didn't care at all whether I lived or died. You know what I'm saying? And it was meaningless to me. It didn't matter. It wasn't even something I thought about. That's the thing. Like, I think a lot of the most reckless people, it's not like, aren't you scared to die? They don't even consider it. It's not on the plate.
Well,
like,
you
just keep doing what you're doing with that not being a influence or a contributor to your decision making. Mm. So it's not even like, oh, he was trying to die. No, he just didn't. He was indifferent to the idea of living or dying, you know? And so it's but shout out to all the people that are around him. DJ Scheme, who I talked to from time to time and worked with him on the song Conversations, which has been one of the biggest songs off the album. And, you know, he had a lot of people around him that truly, truly loved him. And the album is absolutely crushing. And it's looking like it's going to do, you know, 400,000, 500,000 at sales in the first week, which is generally reserved for Bieber, Ariana Grande, those kind of people. So
You saw his house down the street went up for sale too.
I saw that.
Sad. It's like a final.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, interesting episode. Covered a lot of topics.
There was a lot to cover.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Big news here. Oh. Our next episode.
Oh, fuck.
Is episode 200. The internet is buzzing about one because they know that we have a massive.
It's insane.
Massive megastar guest lined up for episode 200. And when I tell you this is going to be one of the biggest episodes of Impulsive ever, I am lying through my fucking teeth, because we have no one lined up for episode 200. And it is in 2 fucking days. We have no idea who it's going to be. KSI just happens to live in a different country. We're not going to fucking Zoom call the motherfucker. Guys, we're in trouble here. So whatever happens on Wednesday, you know, God bless us. We'll see what fucking happens. But other than that, take it away, Blogs, because we got nobody. We got nobody.
Take it away, Blogs.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.